Yes, you are listening to Cairo Radio. And you're writing to us, and you're texting, and you're venting your spleen, and you're... All right, Teeny doing everything she can to win that Employee of the Week again, Sherry, for big, big prizes coming her way. She says she changed her name to Teeny McTeeny Face if she has to. So write to us, 1-888-973-TEENY. Get ready the letters, 1-888-973-5476. Become Letter of the Day. Great honor to be bestowed by Teeny Tiny to your family. Diving in to the news. Diving in. Waiting for them to turn the canal back on so I can get some fresh water in the pond here, Sherry.
That'll be nice.
Sitting there. Yeah.
Hey, I was kind of worried about your fish. What happened? You said a bird was ripping its eyes out?
Its eyes. They're not going to it, but yeah, gross. I'll get some fish in there. That's what birds do. They peck the eyes out of the fish. So I'll take a picture and send it to you, Joe.
Please do.
All right, well, I shall.
I'm good. I don't need it.
Okay. Lululemon. Lululemon closes its downtown store there at Pacific Place. I was in Pacific Place the other day. I didn't know they sold tumbleweeds there. That's what's blowing through that place. Man,
it has been dead for 5 years.
I'll be here
years.
All week. Try the veal. Yeah, it's he is bad down there. So I guess Lululemon's like, this is not worth it. So they closed that store down, didn't have the sales, nobody's there. I got the sale times because, since COVID, it wasn't just COVID, the COVID lockdown, everybody. Plus, it was riots and shoplifting and a whole bunch of other stuff that goes with it that causes more than 2,000 stores to leave Seattle since 2020. So it's not just like, COVID. Yeah, COVID was part of it because the government told everybody to stay home. But also there's other, factors that are included in this thing. But Lululemon just says it's not worth it. There's nobody coming through Pacific Place and they just don't have the foot traffic to keep the place open.
And the Pacific Place people had this to say. It says the leasing team is actively seeking tenants who will best serve and appeal to the community and provide long-term stability for Pacific Place and downtown Seattle. And there's been an interest, keen interest, from prospective tenants. Sure there is.
So I looked at Business Journal. Hey, Sherry, we're just doing the news. We're not allowed to put our own opinions on this.
Okay, I'll stop if you will.
Silence for the next 3 hours. Yeah, right. Business Journal analysis of changes in addresses UPS shows a net loss of nearly 2,400 businesses from 2020 to 2022. Businesses in downtown Seattle walloped in 2020. And the data U.S. Postal Service illustrates how steep the losses have been during the pandemic. But I think people running around, smashing windows, spray painting stores, and just marauding through the streets, and then the police not doing anything, that's one of the other problems as well. So
that didn't
all
help.
Included in there. That certainly didn't help.
But it's gotten much better.
Joe, again, we are a news organization. Your little side comments.
I'm reporting live from downtown Seattle, and I just...
Oh, are you?
I just
it's gotten much better?
No, it's infinitely better than 2020.
Yeah, well, okay.
Come check it out.
And Pacific Place is still a place to visit because, by the way, their other tenants include Tiffany and Company and soup dumpling restaurant chain Din Tai Fung.
Which is very good.
I'm sorry, what was the name of that place again, Sherry?
Din Tai Fung. Fung.
Ah.
Nailed it.
How would you describe the dumplings that they serve there? Do you know, Andrew, how they what those dumplings taste like or look like, the dumplings they have over there that Sherry is just talking about?
I'm trying to remember. I go to Pacific Place a good amount, actually. I wonder if Aaron knows when I go to the medical building.
I think Aaron might know. Yeah. Aaron, what do those dumplings taste like over there, that dumpling place? Yeah. What are those
sweet and tart, firm, crisp, juicy.
Thank you.
Wow, that's a good dumpling.
Firm and tart. Speaking of firm and tart, Matt Lauer wants to make a comeback. That guy was making, I don't know how many, sorry, bad segue. Guy was making tons and tons of money. And then during the whole Me Too thing, I think he, close that door in that office of his. He would bring people in there and then press the button under the desk. And then, oh, boy, look out. I'm going on a date with Matt Lauer. And they chucked him out of there. Remember how we got swept out? So Bill O'Reilly got knocked out. Yeah. Matt Lauer got knocked out of there.
All right, Chris Matthews.
Charlie. What's that?
Chris Matthews.
Chris Matthews as well?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
And then Charlie, what was that guy's name? Charlie, whatever
Charlie
name
Rose.
Was used to be. Charlie Rose, sure, yeah.
But the thing about Matt Lauer, these other guys, I mean, they had a pattern of doing things that were inappropriate as far as making comments or saying things like that. Matt Lauer was accused of raping a woman,
yes.
The same woman that said, that, and they were in a relationship. They were having an affair. And she claims that, you know, one night they went into a hotel when they were doing some kind of a remote thing, and yeah. that she did not give consent.
Uh-huh.
Matt Lauer went out and he put a statement out explaining exactly what they did that night, which was graphic. Oof. And Oof. Then said it was all consensual. There was no crying. There was no whatever. So sources say that he is expecting an apology, that he thinks he's the victim because he doesn't think any of this stuff is true. But he just disappeared. I mean, he just went completely underground.
His wife wasn't very stoked either.
No, right. His wife wasn't very happy about that. And that thing about the button, apparently that doesn't exist.
Oh,
the button that locks the door.
Yeah, there was no button that locks the door.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cuomo, and they caught Cuomo yes. with all his weirdness, too. They got him on that stuff, right?
Chris Cuomo? Chris Cuomo.
Was it Chris Cuomo or that was the governor?
It was both. So Chris Cuomo also was in trouble because he helped his brother, Governor Cuomo, some media stuff and some, you know, ideas of how to combat the press at that point because he was under fire for a lot of stuff. But also Chris Cuomo was accused of making an inappropriate remark to a woman at a party.
That's right.
And they said that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back for him.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, as serious as a rape charge is, it's a charge, right? So you get charged with rape, they come and they arrest you. So somebody accuses you of rape. But then it's this thing where, okay, I'm accused of it, and then there are people jump to now prove that you're innocent of this thing when really the burden of proof is always on the accuser, which is difficult because if they have to take the stand, it's very uncomfortable to sort of go over and explain why consent was not given. And immediately everyone just assumes that the person who was arrested is guilty of it. And then there's all the fallout that comes from it, as we're hearing with the University of Washington, right? So for Matt Lauer, enough people came forward. There was enough of a pattern of it, and NBC didn't want to be caught, so they threw him overboard. So how does he expect to make a comeback on it?
He says that he's plotting his comeback. I don't know how. He started out with this past weekend. He went to Don Lemon's wedding, and that's one of the first kind of public appearances that he's made with other media people.
So that was like penance. That's like picking up garbage on the side of the road. Okay. Here's what you need to do. Go to Don Lemon's incredibly egotistical wedding where he and his now husband are marching down the street. Were they in Lost? It looked like they were in New Orleans or something. They're marching around in velvet jackets and they had like a New Orleans kind of band behind them. I didn't get invited, so I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get an invite either. I think it was more that he's mixing it up with former or potential colleagues. So it's not so much that he's going there because he's groveling and, you know, trying to get Don Lemon's attention. I think it's more that he wanted to be able to be part of something that was probably media heavy in terms of guests.
Oh, I see. Because I remember seeing a story of him like a couple years later, the People magazine or something had a picture of him walking down the beach. There's Matt Lauer, good looking guy, got the shaved head, fancy shoes. Always loved his shoes. And, he's like, what's he doing now? He's got this house in the Hamptons. I don't know if he sold it or not. But to go from all that money and then have nothing and then be accused of these things, he never stood trial, right? He just simply copped to the whole thing, right?
So she got about, I think, maybe $4 million.
Uh-huh.
I think she got money from him, and she may have gotten money from the Today Show as well. But yeah, she made a good amount of money. She didn't press charges. His side of it is, look, we had an affair. We had a relationship. And when I told her it was over, she couldn't accept it. She stalked me. She called my house. She did all these other things. And this is revenge.
Hmm. Okay.
But I got to give him credit. I'm sorry. You know, I do like this about him. He's never done the sellout interview where he goes on and pleads his case and does all of that. He just went away, and I think that gives him a lot more dignity than somebody who has, you know, exploited this and then writes a book and then does all these other things. I like that he just – I don't think he's going to make it again. I think he's too tarnished.
It is weird how the public is forgiving of some people but not of other people, right? And you have to sit out for a certain amount of time. You're right. They make that – or they do the I'm going into therapy, or I'm going – I have an addiction. I'm going to go, you know, to some place in Palm Springs with Sue Bell, and I'm going to, you know, try to make amends, and I'm going to, you know, donate a bunch of money to some nonprofit. Yeah, he just kind of just went away. And I don't know. Does he come back? Does he make a comeback? I mean, heck, Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby was like doing comedy again, doing stand-up, right? And they caught that guy, right? He's drugging people.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Go, oh, I'm going back on the road again. Jello pudding."
Did he get out of prison and I missed
yes.
it?
Oh,
well. Yeah, because he had all sorts of health problems
and
stuff.
Right.
That's a badly team of jello pudding. sorry. Can't help it. When I went and introduced him in Hershey, Pennsylvania, we were sitting in the green room, he had a little dressing room there, and they had it set up like a living room for him with the chairs and everything, and there was Coca-Cola in there, because I think he was a spokesperson, and then, oh, the jello pudding. There was all this jello pudding, which nobody touched. I was like, can I? It's just the two of us sitting in there waiting. I was like, Bill? Yeah. I said, can I have a jello pudding? I don't care. It's like, okay. Don't seem as passionate about jello pudding as I thought you would be.
Did you eat it with your fingers like Ron DeSantis?
They had spoons and everything for all of us right there.
Spoons?
Spoons.
Boots?
Boots were there as well. Sure, I'm in the middle of trying to get the story here.
Go ahead, folks.
Boots.
Boots. Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer comeback. Oh, yeah, Mattel. We know that people are not as smart as they used to be, and the fact that now Scrabble wants to get people, and even Joe in the pre-show meeting, I don't do Scrabble very much. It's just too, like people play it. Thank you, Joe, for that input there.
That was a paraphrase.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that pretty much is it. Yeah, so Scrabble from Mattel is like, you know what, we're going to have to dumb the game down a little bit because people just aren't really good with the triple word score, and they can't come up with as many letters and don't come up with as many words. So how are they making Scrabble easier?
Well, they're making it easier because they have helper cards now. They are simplifying the scoring system, and it's going to be a quicker game to play. It's called Scrabble Together. And you can compete in teams. And one of the things that they're
socialism.
Is Gen Z, they say, doesn't like the competitive nature. So Gen Z is, I guess, triggered by the fact that, you know, these are it's a competitive game. You got to fight to win. You might, you know, win over your best friend, and that's not good. This is the first time they've changed Scrabble in about 75 years. Or within their 75-year history.
I see. Do the, you know, often overlooked or oppressed people, do they get extra points just by the fact that they're part of the protected class? The oppressors and the oppressed get more points just by being there? What do you mean they don't like the competitive nature? They don't like that somebody wins?
They don't like that somebody wins, and they don't like the fact that they're competing against friends.
And the helper cards basically show you the letters that you need, right? Words like table. So you're just looking around. Okay, I got a T. I got to find that A somewhere. You Isn't play with smart fun? People. Scrabble is great. You play with smart people. Yeah, and they're like exacerbated. You're like, whew, wow, look at you. Whoa, with an X. Whoa, look at Mr. Two-syllable man or three-syllable man. And they're building it off the other one, and you're putting down cat.
Yeah. Have you ever played with someone that will only play with a dictionary? I'm looking that up. Oh. I'm not sure about that. I'm looking that up.
Yeah, I like to do that, too. I have a dictionary, too. When they do that, I hit them with it. And my sainted aunt, who went to church every single day, I've told the story before, don't. Heard it, move on. Okay, fine, I won't tell you what she did. That's all right, no. Mr. Heard It, move on, is that enough?
That's just a warning sign that we've heard it. It doesn't mean you can't do it again.
She had an X and a Z in her purse that she carried everywhere.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. Nobody ever called her out on it. It's like, really? Xylophone again?
Would she
Aunt
put
Mary?
It under her leg or something? I mean, how'd she hide it?
I don't know.
Excuse me, I'll be right back. I'm going to get my purse for a Kleenex.
She had it in her mouth, Sherry.
Oh.
And she started coughing. She smoked a lot, too. So she had that kind of smoker's cough like Joe, and she'd start to cough, and next thing you know, xylophone! Ba-ba-ba-ba. Wilcox Family Farm Egg, Sherry. Wilcox Family Farm Eggs. That's right. You like your eggs poached.
Poached. As do you, I hear.
I do, too. I remember one time I was on a... This kind of gives... Well, I was on a date. Well, okay. I met someone, and then we... So anyway, in the morning, we had eggs. And I remember at the start of the story, I'm like, oh, boy. And she's like, poached? Really? Like, what, do you think you're better than everybody? It's like, okay. And last night was a mistake.
Did you ever go to a restaurant where they say, we don't do poached?
I get that, yeah. And then with that, I flip the table over. all right. So in Chechnya, former USSR, they decided they're going to ban some songs. They don't like certain songs because they're too fast or too slow. That'll get your country back in shape. Chechnya, your Chechnyan warlords and all the rest that's going on over there. So they say if a song is too slow, it's not good. I don't know why. If it's too fast, not good either. So they've listed the songs that are too fast and too slow.
Right. It has to be limited to a tempo of 80 to 116 beats a minute. This is from the Minister of Culture. And they say they want the musical culture to be, you know, more local, more whatever, and they're going to ban these other songs. Unfortunately, their national anthem falls into the category of banned, but they're going to say, you can try it. You have to have everything rewritten if you want it to be out there by June 1st. So they're telling all the artists, if you still want to be played or performed, you have to adjust your music accordingly by June 1st.
I see. The territory of Chechnya is used to host and train terrorists for Arab countries and some Western European countries as well. So the terrorists that are training won't be able to hear some of their favorite songs. Do we have any songs that are Chechnyan songs that people like? Because we got the list of all the ones they don't like.
I think we have some. We have the ones that are too fast and the ones that are too slow.
Well, this is any of our Chechnyan listeners. I'm sorry.
Too slow.
How about this one, Sherry? Too fast or too slow? Hey, that's not it. I can't get to it. Joe, you have to play it. Number two in the too fast.
Too slow.
Figure this out.
Don't worry.
Worry.
Be happy.
You didn't know that one. You didn't
know that. I said it.
What? Okay.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Okay. too fast.
Way too fast. We know how this works. I wouldn't mind they outlaw that one. Teen Spirit.
Yeah,
and finally, for you.
Come on, guys.
Come on, Sherry.
Unbelievable.
Come on, Sherry. One last one for you. It won't play it. Hotel California. Welcome to the
Hotel California. Too slow.
Yep. No, it's too fast.
Oh, it's too fast?
Jeez, come on, Sherry.
147 beats per minute.
You can't tell that? And on a sad day, this was the day that the Beatles broke up. 1970. My brother and I were huge Beatle fans.
Also banned, by the way.
Yes, also banned.
Say it's all right.
This day, 1970, the Beatles officially broke up. John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Ringo, the oldest of the Beatles. I guess I don't know what caused the problems, the rift between John... and Paul, I assume, I don't know how involved George was with all of that, but it was sad.
As the story goes, it was shortly after John and Yoko got together, and he just came
He
came into the studio one day and said, I'm quitting the band. And that was it. He walked out.
And his statement was, personal differences, business differences, musical differences, but most of all, because I have a better time with my family.
Okay, I got that. I understand that. But Yoko, she bears some of the responsibility.
Well, she was a Beatles outsized influence on him, so that's
part
of it.
Oh, my God. You ever watch the video of her making art, throwing paint up on the wall?
Have you ever seen a video of her singing? It's even terrifying.
Oh, yoy. It was interesting. What happened was is that when they started doing more studio work and doing a whole bunch of electronic sort of work on their songs, then when they went back out on concert, people were like, that doesn't sound like I want to hold your hand. They got bored with all of that. And then they tried sort of a new thing. They're adding new elements to it. You know, Maxwell Silver Hammer came down on her head. And those songs didn't work in concert as much. And they also got tired of touring and they didn't want to do that anymore. Wanted to try different things. And then that was the end of 1970. But didn't stop the Five Golden Fingers, which is the name of the band that my brother and I came up with. We covered... Beatles songs. We were so bad.
What was the inspiration for Five Golden Fingers?
There were five of us. Me, Danny Walsh, Brendan Walsh, Chuck, myself, and I forget who else played with us. And there's a fifth finger in there. But yeah, we really slaughtered Paperback Writer. It was so sad because Moose, our dog, liked to come over and urinate on Chuck's bass drum. So every time, and a pool of fella dog urine was just sitting in the rim there of the bass drum, just rotting away. And it would sit there for days on end because we didn't practice all the time, although we should have. So we'd go, okay, let's go practice. Let's go down and do Paperback Writer. And we had horrible harmonies. Paperback Writer. Writer. And then Chuck would start, dear sir or madam, can I hear you booger? Take me as a ride. Can I take a look? Every time he'd hit the bass drum, it would like, the urine would splash up. Ugh. And then the stink was just awful. Ugh. We're like, Chuck, come on. Come on with that. He goes, I'm coming in on time. We're like, no, but it just stinks. Every time he hit the bass drum, it stinks. Well, I can't help it. The Moose keeps urinating on the bass drum. And we had drawn like on a poster board, Five Golden Fingers. And we put it on the bass drum to make it look really cool. And we got hired to do a party. And we're going to give us like $50. And we all of a sudden realized, wait a minute. We can't play that party. We suck. We can't go there. Because we used to play with the album. We had a red album, the blue album. We'd put it on and we'd play along with it. But when you took the record off, it's like, what's that mess?
And you always sound better singing along to something.
Better believe it.
Because you got cover there.
Right. You hold your nose. Everything has sort of a nasal sound to it. Singing Paperback Writer or whatever else we were singing, but it was bad. Somebody wrote in yesterday. We didn't get a chance to answer the question because we had talked about how, it was the meteorologist that responding, crying, watching the eclipse. And then I said, you know, I admitted cried one time on the air because I was covering Frank Sinatra. He was doing a show in Washington, D.C. And it was so sad because he was so old and he didn't know where he was. And he gets up and goes, you guys are doing a great job here. You know, fixed up this theater. It looks really great. Did a lot of this theater, beautiful old theater. You guys really know what you're doing in New Jersey. Somebody laughed because New Jersey is a great punchline. And then he made another comment about New Jersey. And then his son, who I think was the music director, had to lean over and tell him, not in New Jersey.
Wait, but they asked what song made you cry.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Andrew, you got it?
Set 'em up, Joe.
Oh.
I got a little story.
I think you ought to know.
I think you should know.
Oh, yeah.
We're drinking
my friend. With the cigarette.
To the end. Of a brief episode.
Make it one more. Might be one more for the rest. Make it one.
Make it one.
New one
for my baby. And one more for the road.
You want to watch Frank Sinatra sell this song? It's on YouTube. He's smoking this cigarette. Look at the cigarette and doing that thing. Oh, a dry eye in the house. Mostly from the smoke.
Or from the pee from the drum. I heard that happen to his drummer, too.
Dave, back writer. Oh, yikes. Oh, good times. Thank you, Pendergast Law. Oh, look who's coming by, Sherry. It's your friend.
Hey, everybody. It's Sue Bell from Palm Beach.
Sue.
And I just want to show you one of my favorite knit dresses. It's just so easy.
It's nice because it holds all the air in.
I actually bought this for a Mediterranean.
All right, fine. Here comes the mailman now. Thank you, Sue. We should get Sue Bell on.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Right to your door.
Mom,
right.
Change the station.
Why bother, girly? Why bother? We got one more hour. Hang in there, sweetie. Learn about patience. All right, we got the letter of the day. First, take care of all the rest. Sherry?
Okay, off topic. Benny, the tugboat expert, says, I received my prize cookies in the mail and was pleased to see that they were made in Lakewood, right next door. Thank you.
Right. You're welcome. Thank you. And thank Teeny Tiny Lady for sending those cookies out. Thank you, Teeny. Great job. There you go. Paul in Sammamish, who, by the way, was letter of the day two days in a row. He's not there today. Why are weddings in Clay Elum so small? Because you only have to invite one family.
There you go.
Is that sort of like an incest joke or something? So what's going on there? Huh?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. If you have to ask.
Because you only have
that's
to. You only have to invite one family. All right. Go ahead, Sherry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Christine in Marysville on shopping cart etiquette. People who don't return their shopping cart need to be kicked in the face.
Right in the face.
Put that in your book.
That's right. B in Puyallup says, petition to name the apple Monson Apples after Dory. That would be nice. I don't know if they would ever do that, but that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Biscuit from Everett says, oh, my goodness, Curly has told a story tonight that I haven't heard previously. I've never heard the Beatles story. I have been listening for a decade and never heard that one. The one with Scrabble tiles and your aunt. Yeah, that I've heard of dozens
of times.
We're
not doing this. We're not doing this right now. We are not listing all of the stories that you've heard before. Jacob, help me.
Yeah, I'd like to see what happens.
What is that supposed to mean? Scared of the American flag. Meow from Anchorage on the kids' American flag. I doubt there are many American flags in Iran or North Korea. Try going there, bud. Hashtag safety first. All right, Sherry?
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Yes.
Okay, this is from Nick in Tacoma. Does the new Apple have good mouth feels? If not, does it have any other notable characteristics? Asking for a friend.
Sweet and tart, firm, crisp, juicy.
Okay.
I'm sold.
Anything else? Buttery. rich.
Weird, weird.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no more.
Oh, she's getting warmed up. She left the girl. I said, you know what? It's a crazy idea. Call me cuckoo, but I think we do another hour of this, huh? Who's with me, huh?
All right. Good job, cuckoo.
Thank you.